This is Tobin Beck from Concordia University, and I'm here today with Joe Chocheng-U.
Yes, yes. Hello.
Who is teaching Mandarin Chinese here at Concordia. So welcome to the interview today. And to start off with, you're here on campus in Seward teaching Mandarin. So how did you come to be here in Seward from Taiwan?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a very good question to start with. By the way, thank you for your introduction. And thank you for being respectful for speaking my Chinese name. That was very good. Yeah. Yes. I came here to Concordia University through this program. It's called Alex Program. And Alex Program is, what they do is they train Chinese and Japanese teachers here in the States, and then they sort of dispatch the instructors to different universities and colleges to teach in the Chinese programs. And then these teachers, they can either do 1 year of working, or they can do the 2 years, and then they can do graduate program while they teach.
Okay, so that brought you here to Seward.
Well, yes. Well, that's how I'm
how
I get
in the
here.
Program.
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to say God brought me here.
Okay.
Of sure. Of course.
Sure.
Yes. So, like, my life is kind of a little bit this and that. I've been to a lot of places, and then I believe that God is sort of mapping my path here. So, state is, I think, is one of them.
So how has it been here in Seward at Concordia? What experiences have you had so far, and how are you finding your students as you work with them to learn Mandarin Chinese?
Well, I think overall, I love Seward. Like, three words, I love Seward. Well, people have been, you know, told me different stories about Nebraska and about their impression about Nebraska. And not until I've been here myself, I just fell in love with this place, just let alone the water crisis that I had for the first few weeks.
The beginning of the year.
Yes. But so far I had the county fair, which was a very, very cool cultural thing to see.
What was your favorite part?
Well, I'll have to say Demolition Derby.
That's always a
good I know. Yeah. But that was really good. Like, it was a lot of fun. But, like, before it, people describe it to me, like, oh, you know, the car crashed together, and then see who's alive will win.
Oh.
I told, like, my family and friends, and nobody bought it.
Oh.
They were like, huh?
Then you realize people actually are not supposed to get hurt in doing that.
Well,
just smash up the cars.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was a lot of fun. And also, to be in America, there's one thing that I'm still getting used to is how the sunrise and sunset is like the time it range a lot.
Hmm.
And then everything is oversized here. Even the dogs. The dogs are huge. The cars are huge. Yeah.
So that's taken some getting used to.
Yes, some baby steps.
So tell us a little bit about your family back in Taiwan.
Well, okay, what can I say? I have one dad and one mom. Parents are back home. They're taking care of my grandmom, who is nearly 90 years old now. And also I have an elder brother who's working full-time in a military base. And also taking care of my grandmom. And also I have a very unique family member that I would like to mention. She's my grandmom's caretaker. She's from Indonesia. So I think she could be my first Chinese learner.
Hmm.
Our family teach her Chinese, and then she's learning super fast. Yeah. We honor her, we respect her, and I will say that she's my favorite family member so far.
Okay.
I don't love her like more than my parents. That's not what I meant to
say. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So You also, when we were talking earlier, mentioned that eventually you would like to teach in other countries, and you mentioned your experience already with teaching English and Chinese in Vietnam. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. So my teaching experience so far is not very long. It's only in total probably a year and a half. I spent 1 year in Taiwan, this very isolated island where you have to take the ship for like 8 hours to get there. It is a small island between Taiwan main island and China main island. Then we had probably 400 villagers on the island. And my class is consisted of 4 students in total. Mm-hmm. It's a very tiny little small but warm place mm-hmm. to teach. I spent 1 year there. That was amazing. That was probably the most amazing time that I spent with those teenagers. And we had a lot of fun. Like, there's no other schools that you can spend your leisure time just hanging out with students and play sports with them and really build solid relationship with them and make a change in students' life. I formed a band with them. We didn't have teachers. And then our teacher was YouTube. And then we even performed like 7 songs.
Wow.
At the end of my teaching.
So what kind of band?
It's a pop band. And then I personally bought a bass guitar for them. And then one of my students, he has guitar. And then we just found a set of drums in the warehouse, and then we just assemble it, and then we just play. We just play the music. It was so fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with them?
Yes, yes. Once in a while, my students will text me and tell me what their life is now, and then one of my students, he was so inspired, and then he started to play guitar in the mind of being a professional guitarist. Mm-hmm. And then he will sometimes video call me and then sing songs for me and playing
wow,
guitar.
That's great.
Yeah. That was super cool. Yeah, yeah.
So do you have any plans to form a band here? Maybe with your students here?
Well, probably not, because I wasn't that professional. But with my students, we're doing something really cool. Oh, like, for example, this morning, I woke up very early, like 5-ish. And then I cook some of the Chinese dish. So this dish that I cooked this morning was xinzhu mi fen, the vermicelli, Chinese vermicelli. Mm-hmm. Well, Taiwanese vermicelli. And then stir fry. And then I brought it to the class. And then I just introduced them the food. And then we just had a fun time eating together.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, yes. Eating is always the best.
Yes, definitely. Yes. So with your class here, how easy, hard is it for students to pick up on Chinese? Because we always hear that Chinese is one of the more difficult languages to learn. Is that true?
Okay. So I have to clarify that. So Chinese is not that hard. Well, every language has its hard mm-hmm. parts, right? So for Chinese, the easy part is the grammar structure is super easy. We may have a lot of sentence patterns, but in terms of the grammar, it's not like French. You have a lot of variations of the tense. So in Chinese, it's simpler, it's straightforward, and it's probably a little bit similar to English sentence structure. So for English speakers, it's probably not that hard, and it's very logical. Just like my students said, my students are always telling me, oh, Chinese is much more logical than English. It makes a lot of sense to me. I was like, yeah, that's now funny. You know. Yeah. But the hard part is that the Chinese characters are sometimes making students kind of frightened because they're kind of imitated by how the amount of the Chinese characters.
And how many are there?
Well, I can't say the exact number, but the frequent used Chinese characters probably will be somewhere around 4,000. Mm-hmm. So
how long and how much practice does it take to get fluent in Chinese?
Well, in terms of fluent in speaking, you can just do some basic daily conversation in probably 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then to reach a better proficiency level probably takes you 4 to 6 years. Okay. It's just like English. It took me 10 years to get here. Hmm. So, yes.
Okay. And how about writing Chinese? How long does that take to...
Well, writing Chinese as a... Okay, so I will tell you about the experience that I was a learner to write, to practice in Chinese. I took probably 4 years as a native speaker to really figure out Chinese characters when I was little. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, but I was a very special kid. Like when I was 5 years old or probably 4 years old, before I started to draw things, I would just pull out newspapers and started to imitate the Chinese characters, like as if I'm writing.
So I did the same thing when I learned English as a child.
Yes.
With pulling out newspapers and trying to draw the letters and being frustrated because I didn't know yet what the letters meant and what the words meant. I still vividly remember that all these years later.
Wow, no wonder you're a good writer.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you. Been doing it a long time.
Yes.
But still always learning, as I'm sure you can appreciate.
Yes, yes, yes,
but,
definitely.
So what sorts of drills do you do with your students? And you were mentioning earlier about dialogue and how that works. So can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, yes. So my classrooms is based off of the pedagogy that's proposed earlier by Walker and Professor Walker and Noda from Ohio State University. Yes, and they're the main spirit of... So this pedagogy is called a perform culture, which is that we believe that our role as a teacher is to prepare our students to be ready for the target culture, and then we're here to make sure that when our students are going to the countries that speak the target language, they're able to speak and also behave appropriately to the culture. So this perform culture pedagogy focus on preparing our students to be ready for the target culture, and then we're as a teacher, we're here to make sure that the students are ready for being immersed in a target culture and speak and behave appropriately within the culture, mm-hmm. without potentially offend the native speakers.
Right.
And then they know when to use the formal language, when to use the informal languages, and they learn how to speak on the top of the context.
Mm-hmm.
They could distinguish when I should use this language and when I should use that kind of language.
Which makes sense because that's how you actually would use the language.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So we are also preparing them especially for careers because a lot of our learners are learning Chinese for their career goal. Some of them are planning to move to China for other job experiences. So that is the main spirit of this perform culture is that in our classrooms, they're going to perform the real context, perform the dialogues in an assumed context
mm-hmm.
where they can monitor the languages. Not only when and where this dialogues is taking place, and also what is the relationship between the speakers, so on and so forth.
That sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
I would love to take your course.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes. That really sounds interesting.
Oh, they are, so, yes.
And how many students do you have here?
Well, I have 3 students for my Chinese 101, mm-hmm. class 1, and then 1 student for my class 2.
What an opportunity for those
yes.
students.
That's we awesome. Still have a, yeah, we have a lot of vacancies for people to come to flow in. I'm really hoping that a lot of people will, you know, started to.
And I'm sure as more students hear about this and, you know, that the interest will build because that,
yes.
that is a terrific opportunity.
Yes, yes. That is what I'm hoping for is that, yeah, there's one very, very important thing, message that I want to say to our students. Chinese is not that hard. Seriously.
All right. Well, we'll go with
yes,
that.
Yes.
So again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
What types of things do you like to do in your spare time to relax? Hobbies, other fun things that you do?
Well, I'm trying to be a sewer resident. So what I did was just to hang out with friends, and then, well, I actually prepare for lessons as my as my entertainment.
Okay, I can relate
yes.
to that. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I didn't really do much for fun time.
Oh,
so
well, have to find some things that you might be interested in.
Well, yes,
because there's a lot of stuff going on around.
Oh yes.
Around,
oh well, there
town,
actually.
This area.
Yeah, the final the Bible study, mm-hmm. and then the students' praise mm-hmm. on Wednesday night. That was very interesting. I attended all of them this week. It was fun.
Yeah. Good. You mentioned music that you like. You like jazz, American jazz. What got you interested in that?
I'm just very prone to the rhythm, especially the rhythm in jazz music. And then I just love jazz when I was in Taiwan. And then I got here, there's so much jazz music here. I went through my Chinese teaching training in Washington University in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I was exposed to a lot of free jazz, a lot of street jazz. That was awesome.
Yeah, St. Louis is a great place.
Yes,
for
yes. Yeah. And I heard that sewer is full of jazz music too, just waiting for me to explore.
Well, and Lincoln has some great places.
Omaha, oh, yes,
as
yes,
well.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a lot of that here
yes.
In this area,
yeah.
in the Great Plains in the Midwest.
I'm excited to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Let's see. Just trying to think. What else might we?
The Vietnam
talk about
experience,
here?
Probably.
Well. Yeah, would you like to elaborate on your experience in Vietnam?
Oh, yes. So I was teaching there in Vietnam. It's a private high school in Ho Chi Minh City. And the students there, we have grade 6 to grade 12. And then the students there are from probably most of the, one of the, those influential families. We also have some students that comes from a little bit of other backgrounds, mm-hmm. but I'll say most of them come from influential families. My experience in Vietnam was amazing. I love Vietnam. Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh, especially Ho Chi Minh City, is a vibrant, is a colorful, and it's a lot of things going on there. It's lively. It's a lively city. Mm-hmm. It probably attracts a lot of foreign tourists and also foreign expats to try to earn a career there, to develop their career there and live there. A lot of people, when I mentioned about Vietnam, a lot of people have shared some of their impression, saying that Vietnam is probably not prosperous or a little bit of like third world country, but it's not like that. Vietnam is so, I'll say, so full of opportunities.
Well, and for a lot of people, and certainly for people in my baby boomer generation, they remember the Vietnam War.
Oh, yes.
So even though it's been more than 40 years since the Vietnam War ended, that still influences the way that a lot of people think about Vietnam.
Well, yes. For a lot of, I'll say for a lot of Americans, it probably leaves a little scars in their past memory, history, the memory of the history. But I'll say a lot of American, they come to Vietnam and they go to the American-Vietnamese War, and they sort of go to the gallery that still has the authentic propaganda in the war, and sort of look back. And it's a really good way for a respectful reminiscence. And then Vietnamese people, to my opinion, they're very welcome. They're very welcoming for American to come back mm-hmm. to Vietnam and just mm-hmm. to visit and to get to know them.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think anything that you'd like, well, let me say, is there anything that you would like to mention in wrapping up the interview?
Well, I'll say that this is just very, 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 very super brief of my lots of other experience. And then I would like to share more if I had other chances to come here do some
definitely.
More recordings.
Okay.
There are so many interesting things that's going on, that's ongoing in my Chinese classes. So excited. I can't wait to share that.
Well, give us a brief overview of some of that. What types of things are you doing?
We're basically just, you know, practicing daily conversations and dialogues. And they're so excited because they feel like, okay, so we're not, because they expected it to be, you know, learning colors, animals, and then the Chinese objects in Chinese. But we didn't start from that. We started from the dialogue. So they're so super excited that they can talk, you know, just in first few weeks. And one of my students is a basketball one of the basketball captain on the campus. He's so motivated. And then he started to speak Chinese to his friends, his family, to his teammates. He just didn't care if they understand it or not. That was so cool.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that they're still trying very hard on studying Chinese, but I also see the outcome, the sense of achievement. I see them. It's visual.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that has to be awesome for you as a teacher.
Yes, yes.
They start picking that up and it starts to be fun for them and exciting and motivates them to want to learn more.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's very fulfilling.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I want to thank you very much for spending time here today and telling us a little bit about yourself. And thank you. I'm Tobin Beck, and I'm here with Joe Cho-Chung-U.
Yes.
And we will speak again later on.
Yes.